fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics.
I just love that bass line as it goes down. At the end, it's Mr. FSP. Welcome to the Saturday edition of Fantasy Sports and Politics. And you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to entertain. I'm going to inspire. I'm going to motivate. Most importantly, all I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got Jerry on the line. So, Jerry, say what's up.
How you doing? How's it going? All I got to say is you should be called Mr. BS instead of Mr. FSP. Let me put it that way.
Whoa. Why? What did I do?
If you actually going to...
What did I do?
You know what? And this is coming from actually, this is what I would have done. This is actually what I would have done if I've won the way you won in that with the stat correction that came out of nowhere.
Which decided to
take 11 yards, I think, in the catch or whatever it was, so 11 yards, whatever, away from Dez Bryant. And thousands of fantasy football players that had Dez Bryant. And I would possibly, and I'm saying thousands because I believe it's thousands that played fantasy football were affected by that stat correction, and I was one of them. And in that case, if that something like that would have happened, I wouldn't even take in the win like that. But that's okay. That's okay,
really?
Because that
really?
I'm dead serious. I am dead serious. Something BS like that, because I feel that's not a legit win in my case, because unforeseen forces, some forces that weren't on the field, took those points away, and that's a fact. Now, that wasn't done on the field. That was off the field. That was taken. They decided to do a stat correction and take some points away. But it's a win. It counts as a win, and some people take it, some people don't. But all I know is Detroit got 7 wins. Hello. Hello.
I tell you what. You know what? Detroit did get 7 wins. Arizona's going to get their 8th win this week. So that means you'll owe me $50 at the end of the season, which is fine. I can win. It's not a problem. I know how you are. You're slow. It's okay.
Oh, wait. Don't even talk about slow. Don't even talk about slow. Because last time somebody owed me money, was Mr. FSP, and I have
true.
Yet to see it. I have yet to see
and
it.
And you won't.
Obviously, I know that now. But I wasn't sweating you.
$400 I never saw, and I waited a whole year.
You saw that
for $400.
You saw that.
I didn't see $400.
Well, because you lost the other part of it.
Yes, I got you. But, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into this show. Again, it's
you can get into it because we're going to go back and forth today, man. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. You know who I want to talk about today. Oh, boy.
I know who you want to talk about. But Jerry and I are here doing what we do because we do it for you. Saturday morning, 12 a.m., No, excuse me, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I don't even know my time.
There you go.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanksgiving was Thursday. It's come and gone, and I'm thankful for everything I have and the people there in my life. Thankful for Jerry, JT, ATM Money. not because he just gives me money because he can't beat me, but because he's a very good friend and someone that takes care of business when I'm unable to. So I greatly appreciate that, JC.
Not a problem. Anytime, man. I'm thankful for you for giving me the opportunity to do the things that we're doing right now. So, and I'm enjoying it. And just a little side note, just before you go any further, I'm at I went over to my mother's house because my niece and her husband were up from Maryland, and a lot of other family in different parts of this state and other states came in for Thanksgiving. And my niece, out of the clear blue sky, which I was very surprised, she happens to be a Facebook friend, and sees the post that we put up on there. They were driving, I forget where they were driving at or what, but she put the show, and once she told me who I was talking to, I realized what show she put on. As her husband and she were driving, and I don't know where they were driving to, she put the show on that had Jackie on it. I forget
Saturday,
what show
okay,
that was.
That Saturday show.
That Saturday show. That led to a conversation on her husband asking me how I got into doing this type of radio thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm reflecting back on that, and I hate to take this, but I was reflecting back on that I got into it through fantasy football, which is pretty ironic. I'm trying to think how we hooked up in fantasy football.
I told you how, dude.
Tell
it
me again.
RTS Sports, it was one of them crazy leagues, and you were Obama Nation, and I
right.
had just taken over as a commissioner. And this goes back to that first show when we were looking up all that stuff, dude. You were one of the few people, you and a guy from Britain, had went ahead and decided to listen to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you called in and you listened in. And then I started giving away prizes, and you started to grow a set. So you wanted to get on the air, and so you grew a set and came on.
Yeah.
And it's been history since, man.
Yeah, but
you won
well,
my
what
stuff.
I'm saying, what I'm saying
I
is,
not to give
I,
anymore.
I know it was fantasy football, but, you know, how did we hook up on fantasy football? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
We were at RTS, and I was the commissioner. And from there,
yeah, but
we played each other as well.
But
and then I invited you and anybody else from RTS over to my ESPN league.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And the more that, you know, I guess you wanted to see what I was all about or whatever, until you joined the league, and we started
mm-hmm.
talking trash on the show because you were winning stuff on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I got tired of that. And you came on.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So that's how
yeah.
that was.
Yeah, that was ironic. And now I'm I've been a fantasy football fanatic ever since, so but it is what it is. It is what
You're
it is.
You're welcome.
Thank you, man. I'm thankful for that because I think when I first started talking to you on the radio, I think that was my second year in fantasy football, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was my second year in fantasy football. I hadn't been playing it that long. I consider myself a pretty quick learner, and I did a lot of what I've talked about, of going on a lot of websites, talking to a lot of people, doing a lot of research, trying to know the ins and outs of fantasy football. And this was an outlet that piqued my interest when I was talking to you on the radio, because you talked sports, which I like talking a lot. It doesn't make a difference what sport it is, except MMA. You fanned the fire. Let me put it that way. I don't know if I would have stayed in fantasy football as long as I did if I hadn't had an outlet and was able to talk fantasy football and sports on this type of venue.
Well, Hey, dude, I'm going to tell you right now, this ain't no love fest, ladies and gentlemen. Just to let y'all know, this ain't no love fest. Mm-hmm. I love the dude, but it ain't no love fest. It's, okay, we share a common goal, a common bond.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you are a sage advisor to me, I appreciate that.
No problem.
And you are very knowledgeable, and I'm very glad to be able to give you the venue to express that knowledge that other people, and we found this out over the years, other mm-hmm. people listen to what we have to say, and they're very
yep.
successful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's, I mean, yeah, coincidences happen, but God puts people in the same places and do things together for a reason. And I think
yep.
This is something that was really, really meant to be. You know, me getting off that plane, President Obama winning, and Rick Del Vecchio crying. You know, that was meant to be. I might not have liked it at the time.
Right.
But that was meant to be.
Right.
Excuse me. And it caused a chain reaction. That lit a fire under me to do better for myself. Yeah, where I was at the time, my unit was like, okay, well, we're going to try to help you out, da-da-da-da. They really weren't doing anything. And then a guy, I'm going to tell you how I really got into it. A guy who was doing his own wagering site like I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
He started doing this too. He did it, and I joined one of his leagues.
Mm-hmm.
The thing was, he was all about promoting his site, and he really wasn't into fantasy football. He would give some information, da-da-da-da-da, but he really didn't care. But he did it with Blog Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
So when I hit him up and found out what he was doing and how he was doing it, I was like, oh, okay. And back then, this was free. Like, Blog Talk Radio would give you like an hour of free stuff a month, free show
right.
a month or whatever the case is.
Right.
And they've since, you know, changed to all pay, which is fine. But the services are very good for what I'm paying. And it's allowed me to reach out to you, the Black,
mm-hmm.
Jeff. Rick was on for a minute, you know, and he's still my friend to this day. Even though sometimes when I punch him in the face, he's still
mm-hmm.
my friend, you know, and it's allowed me to meet and interview and talk to other people, and allowed you guys the same thing. So I'm very thankful for all the things that set this whole fantasy sports and politics wheel in motion, the spot on radio, network in motion, everything. I mean, it's not stopping either. I want to take it a lot bigger and a lot higher than what it is. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this while I'm on the subject matter of everyone here at our network. Sylvia Crawley, our Monday Time Out with Sylvia Crawley folks, she recently had a significant loss in her life. And I want to say it on the air publicly that your radio family loves you and wants to make sure that we do whatever we can for you and deal with your situations and life-changing events. And all of us will be here when you get back. So,
yep.
You know, we're sorry for your loss, and hopefully it'll be a spark to help you get a little bit further than where you are today. With that being said, let's get into what we're going to talk about today. Now, Mr. Taylor has an issue with my quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I have a slight issue, not a real issue, but a slight issue with my quarterback. So I'm a RG3, Washington Redskins. We're going to talk about that. We're going to discuss some fantasy starts and sits along with NFL Week 13 schedule. This is a critical week for a lot of folks in fantasy football. Critical week. Whether it's your playoffs about to start, your playoffs have started, or you're trying to get into the playoffs, this is a critical week, and a lot of matchups mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So we're going to talk about that. Also, we're going to talk about that subject that Jerry doesn't like that much. How much time I'm going to devote to it, I don't know. But it's MMA. Yes, mixed martial arts. On Fox Sports 1 tonight, it's the Tough Enough Ultimate Fighter 18 finals, where you have the women. For the first time, they had a women and men under the same roof fighting throughout the season. and there's going to be a women's final match and a men's final match, all beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Fox Sports 1, which is free, free TV, and the women have some very good fighters in this fight, I mean, in this matchup, so we'll talk about that. And I know Jerry loves to see the ladies, whether it's fighting or in the lingerie league, it doesn't
matter. Is
this
pay-per-view?
No, it's free. It's on Fox Sports 1.
Really?
Yes, it is.
I'll be tuning in.
I know
nothing else.
But
let me put it this way. I'll be watching MMA, but I won't be watching MMA.
I know, you little nasty. Anyway, the main event of that card is Greg Maynard versus Nate Diaz, which promises to be a slugfest, unless they decide to grapple. But Diaz, great jiu-jitsu guy, but loves to stand up and fight. So, and Greg Maynard loves to fight, too. So we should see how that goes. There's a lot of stuff going on in college football. Black was online. We talk about that because you got Bama versus Auburn, which looks like it could be an upset and shake up the college ranks if it takes place. You've got South Carolina versus Clemson. You've got USC versus UCLA. A lot of great football going on today that we can talk about. We're going to talk about NFL mainly. And also, if you want to call in, you can call in on our fantasysportsbookandcasino.com phone line. That phone number is 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. fantasysportsbookandcasino.com, where winners come and winners win. All right.
So it happens to be our sponsor of this show, am I right?
Yes, it is. Sponsors, Fantasy Sports and Politics, Fantasy Sports and Politics Cruise Show, and if the Master Plan would like, maybe the Master Plan. We'll have to discuss that off air.
Okay. No problem.
But
we can do that.
I have no problem with that at all. No problem whatsoever. All right. So, let's jump into this, ladies and gentlemen. Let's jump into it real fast and furious. RG3. Hail to the Redskins. Right? Mr. Griffin laid the blanket statement down. There will be no one that challenges his family or talks about his family. Matter of fact, he made me think of Game of Thrones, which I just got the first two seasons of, and my wife and I are watching it. So,
dude,
he just reminded me of Game of Thrones.
Have you watched it? You said you just got it. Have you watched any of it?
Yes, I have. I watched the first three episodes. And
before
the show was coming on, I was in the middle. Well, I was at the end of the episode where they were at the wall in season one, and the little imp was telling the guy he's going to travel back to King's Landing. And right now, the right hand of the king has been bestowed upon
Robert
Stark.
Yes.
Well, no. Is it Ned or Paul, whatever his name is?
Ned Stark.
Yes, Ned Stark.
Ned Stark, the father of the family.
Correct. So
yes.
He's traveled back to King's Landing, and they just
okay.
They're deciding. Well, the wife figured out that the Lansings or the Lannisters tried to kill the boy, and the boy just woke up and he doesn't remember anything. But his legs are paralyzed or whatever. And,
well, you know why, don't you?
Yes, I know why. I saw one.
Okay. So it's gotten pretty interesting even in the first episode. I mean, even in the first season so far.
Yes. And now the last thing I saw was the very pale and white-haired chick decided she was pregnant.
Let me tell you something.
By Conan.
You're going to get hooked. If you aren't hooked yet, as you watch the rest of the first episode and into the second episode, you are going to get hooked. I've been talking about the Game of Thrones for quite a while now, and you know that, and I'm hooked.
Yep.
I can't wait until the spring, because it usually comes in, I think, in March of every year. It starts.
I might have to buy HBO for it because they're doing their little
promo,
preview, winter preview, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw they were playing like three or four. They played the first three episodes back to back to back on HBO Zone or whatever, and I just stayed in my room watching it. So that was kind of cool. But that brings me back to RG3, Mike Shanahan, and Kyle Shanahan. The Lannisters and Spock. So
you're
going to
go there?
In that way.
You're going to go there.
Yes, I am. Mr. Taylor, you have the bone to pick. I'm going to talk about it a little bit, but I'm going to let you go ahead and decide who's the Lannisters and who's the Stark, the heroes of this story. But go ahead.
Well, I started last year when I thought this kid was out of line and talking too much last year, and I did mention on the show last year that I thought he's only a rookie and he's talking like he's been in the league for so long, and I think he's been talking too much. Well, since last year up into this year, there's been a lot of promo. Everybody knows he got hurt late part of last year, but there's been a lot of him on TV. There's been a lot of promo of psyching, pumping him up, getting going into the season. And there's been a lot of RG3 brand thrown a lot out there. Like I said last year and like I'm saying now, shut your mouth. You're talking too much. You haven't earned the right to talk as much as you have because you're in your second year. Now it's your second year, but you're worse than you were the first year, and you're talking like you're a 10-year vet and you've earned a right, which you haven't. And now his teammates, one that doesn't call him RG3, meaning the leader of that, one of the leaders of that team, London Fletcher, who calls him Robert, and another seasoned vet who's been in the league quite a while, Santana Moss, pretty much are saying what I've been saying since last year. You haven't earned the right. You call yourself a leader. You're throwing guys, basically, and your coaching staff, in my opinion, under the bus and not pointing the finger at where it needs to be pointed at because you haven't stepped up to the plate at all this year. And your team is suffering for it. And you quite naturally, your name is suffering for it. And when that happens, things snowball, and people look for more chinks in your armor, which you're finding. And instead of you keeping a low profile and not saying anything, you keep talking that much more. Is it more important that your brand gets out there, or is it more important that your team wins, that you strive to do better? Because you've regressed, you haven't progressed in your quarterback play.
All right. Have you finished, Mr. King Lannister?
All
right. Here's the deal. RG3 has discovered that Donovan McNabb was telling the truth the entire time. And for all the stuff that he's
now you're going to go that route.
Pushing back.
I
didn't
interrupt. Go ahead, because I'm going to pipe my tongue on this until you're finished, because I'm going to refer back to this. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
I don't know
all
how
right.
much longer,
right.
but I'll bite my tongue.
Okay. So, RG3 is learning that Donovan McNabb was correct. And that would be the soothsayer in Game of Thrones. Now, the Lannisters, a.k.a. Shanahan, they do shenanigans. Or, as I like to call it, the Lannister ring. Whereas the sister or the queen is with her brother. So that would kind of be like Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan, kind of, sort of. And, you know, Robert could be the Robert in Game of Thrones, but the imp, see, I keep going back to this imp. This imp is wild. He's wild. He's like, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to have my fun. Say what I want to say. Do what I want to do. You already don't like me. I'm already considered, you know, different, even though I am your blood. And that kind of looks like Robert Griffin III. Not calling him short, not calling him a dwarf or whatever you want to call him. But he has that attitude right now. And he's realizing by making those comments that he made, such as, they knew what we were going to do. They knew every play we were going to do. Now that kind of backfires on me. Kyle Shanahan tailors his offense to suit Robert Griffin III.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you see the change when Kirk Cousins is in. It goes back to a more traditional offense. If the Redskins were to come out in a more traditional offense and let Robert Griffin III play in that system, he would be more effective if he had a better deep ball. I mean, a better short ball. But he throws like Donovan McNabb. He throws into the ground. He has a baseball player's delivery or pitcher's delivery. So it is what it is. Now, you've built the franchise around him. There are rumblings that he's insecure about his position on the team because Kirk Cousins is probably more suited for NFL, quote-unquote, traditional style of play than what RG3 is. People got to remember this. Cam Newton went through the same thing last year with Steve Smith. Steve Smith called him out. Steve Smith said he's not a leader. Steve Smith said that he doesn't deserve that C on his chest. And he didn't have a C on his chest until this year, if I'm not mistaken. So this year, Cam Newton decided to put it together and become that leader. Now, it didn't start off looking good, but it since has become a better team in Carolina. RG3, in my opinion, needs to finish strong. If it means running and running and running, so be it. But the main focus that Kyle Shanahan has to remember as a Lannister, protect the throne. How do you protect the throne? Meaning Robert Griffin. Or Ned Stark is by giving the ball to Alfred Morris. Run the ball. Even if it's not working, run the ball. It helps set up the play-action pass. And if they're going to throw a deep ball, I got it. Alger Grofson is the fastest guy on the offense. But he doesn't have steady hands. Why don't you let Santana run that deep ball pass? Why don't you let Pierre Garçon run the deep ball? Or Morgan? Somebody else. Aldrick Robinson, the kid is okay, but he drops the ball. A lot. So therefore, this Game of Thrones between the Lannisters, a.k.a. the Shanahans, and the Stark, or Starks, a.k.a. Robert Griffin III and Donovan McNabb, it needs to work itself out. There are no Targaryens coming to invade. They're fans. They're upset with the play of the team. Worst case scenario, and I really think this is probably something that will get looked at within the last three games if we can't win, Kirk Cousins plays. Because Kirk Cousins will be either traded, just like your boy Matt Schaub was, or he's going to be competing for that starting job next year. They put too much money into Robert in order for that to take place, but they have to give this fan base a little bit of something else. We need to fix the offensive line, to be honest. Fix the offensive line. They thought they fixed it, but Chester gets beat like a drum. Like a drum.
Tell me when you finish.
I'm about to be finished because we got my cousin on the line too. But I just don't think that it's all Mr. RG3. His mouth does need to be quiet, just like the little imp on the Game of Thrones. You know, just like him. There will be no red wedding unless Shanahan and his son decide to divorce themselves of RG3 or vice versa. So there will be no murdering of the royal family. At least we don't think there will be. That's what I got. I'm going to let you talk.
Okay.
Well,
you know, at the beginning, and all through what you've been saying, you've done a classic Michael Jackson. You know what that is?
A moonwalk.
Moonwalk. Yeah, you backtracked big time. Big time.
No, I didn't.
Because the simple fact is you guys were heaping a whole bunch of praise on what they were doing with Robin Griffin, and they're trying to do the same thing this year, and he has regressed dramatically. And you've said that change the offense, woulda, coulda, shoulda, change the offense to suit what the Shanahans normally do, which would be conducive to Kirk Cousins. When it was working last year, what they catered the offense to Robert Griffin III, they did the same thing a little bit more and given him a little bit more latitude this year, and it hasn't worked out because he's been throwing underthrown guys, overthrown guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's been absolutely horrible in the accuracy department, for one. And the fact is, like I said, he's been talking totally too much. I said this last year, and I said it again this year. He's been talking too much. He hasn't earned the right. You guys can – even his teammates have been saying this recently. Even his teammates have been saying it because the fact is you're the quarterback, face of the franchise. A lot of things have been bestowed upon you way more than they should have because you're supposed to be the savior of the Washington Redskins, and you were pumped up to be that. And everybody was all happy and gay last year, justifiably so, because he showed out and did pretty well last year. Well, he hasn't done that. In fact, he'd gone the other way this year, and his chinks in the armor have been exposed, including some of, I wouldn't say his character, but some of his personal flaws as a person when he's throwing guys, including his coaching staff, under the bus.
Again,
this team is very dysfunctional right now, and it can go either way with the next few games before the season's over, and I hope they can salvage it. Let me put it that way.
Well, again, I'm going to give you the example of Carolina. Same situation as last year with them. You know, you got the outstanding receiver calling out his quarterback, the quarterback giving press conferences, saying things he shouldn't say, and acting a certain way.
But you know what the difference is? You know what the difference is of that? Because when that happened with Cam Newton and all the things surrounding Cam Newton and all that negativity started, at the end of that season, I think the last four or five games, Cam Newton was playing his butt off. He was playing his butt off, okay? It could have been longer than that, but
yeah, I mean,
Cam Newton was one of the best quarterbacks in the league near the end of the season when he turns it around. I don't see that happening to Robert Griffin because he doesn't really have – look, to me, he looks like he's lost on the field. Looks to me like he's lost on the field. When you see guys and he gets hit and he gets hit a lot and you don't see his teammates coming over, rushing over to protect him or pick him up off the field, there's a problem. There's a problem
there. I know.
There.
We said that before. We said that before about other situations. We're going to let my cousin get in here real quick. I mean, don't get me wrong. I agree with you. These are the last five games of the season. So based on what you said, that's when Cam Newton turned it on for his team.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if RG3 can do the same. I think he can. But I also believe that they need to run Alfred Morris a lot more than what they have in order to let Robert Griffin III do what he normally does, if they're going to keep him in that same offense. That's my only contention. Again, I agree. It's the Starks and the Lannisters. Game of Thrones. So, you know, that's what it is. I'm going to bring in my cousin, Mike. Welcome to you're calling in on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com phone line, where winners go to win. Well, winners go to play and winners win. All right, welcome to the show.
You know I got shots for both of y'all, right? So y'all just go ahead, strap up. I'm about to bust off on both of y'all first.
Go right ahead, man.
I gotta go to my cousin. You know, as normal, his analysis is just like off. The Redskins have been running Alfred Morris like crazy. It's how mm-hmm.
It's how they 224 times.
What is his ranking as a running back? What is he, second, third, or fourth?
You're talking about total yards? You're talking about rushes or total yards?
Yeah,
which one?
I'm talking about
rushes or total yards.
Rushing. Is he second or
he's
third?
He's rushed 224 times, which is fifth, I believe, in the NFL.
Fifth. That's not bad. That is not bad. They are running him.
Mm,
the problem is how they're utilizing. Excuse me. The problem is how they are utilizing the running game in terms of the play action. It's not just run Alfred Morris and running. They've been running him. They've been running him religiously. They just have not been utilizing that play action effectively for whatever reason. And then when they do use it, you know, Jokers is dropping the ball. To this whole thing about Griffin regressing, I don't see him regressing as much because you've got two things you got to account for. I mean, number one, he was rehabbing all year. That's not an excuse. It's just an explanation. He was rehabbing all year. I'm still an RG3 fan. I think that the problem is not only that, you got four turnstiles as offensive linemen up there. Four of them. Only one of them is fairly decent, but the rest of them do. You could just bull rush every last one of them. You cannot play a pocket quarterback type of gameplay with those four linemen in the NFL. I'm sorry. We got the lightest NFL offensive line, you know, out there. And the reason that they have them is so they can utilize that zone stretch running play, you know, so you can stretch and move the linemen. You want athletic linemen. So they've got to make up their mind what exactly they want to do with that, because that is just not working. It is absolutely not working. It is getting Robert pummeled. You know, and then as far as this whole thing about, you know, them going back and forth, really, no. Santana basically said that, you know, Robert needs to say more I instead of, you know, we and point it out. But in actuality, Robert was 100% on. Was nobody open. So he threw it up. I mean, I get tired of just watching his game, and it's like he out there by himself. You know, these dudes dropping balls, and you don't see where they at and where they going. And I'm not knocking those guys, but it's a whole team collective effort. I got that from Santana Moss. But I didn't get where it was some type of miscommunication things going on there. And then as far as them dudes not picking up Robert after he get pummeled, them the same dudes that just got beat. They just got beat, man. They've been getting beat. They've been getting pummeled. I mean, just straight like bull rushes. I mean, the dude Chester and the dude Lichtensteiger, man, Lichtensteiger gets on my nerves. I mean, I believe that Lil Bubba can do a bull rush, you know, for real. I'm just tired of that nonsense. But this problem is squarely on the Shanahan, squarely on the Shamo clan. I think we call them
the Lannisters, of this Game of Thrones. I
ain't getting in all that. I just think that they need to get this ship together for real. I mean, because the one thing that I can truthfully say is that this coaching staff has brought order here in D.C. You know, you don't have clowns coming in and out, you know, getting these ridiculous contracts. You don't have, you know, sad circus shows. And what you have more so is you have the media taking like two or three statements and running with it. I mean, I've listened to Santana just go off on Albert Haynesworth and go off on a whole bunch of different players. But they took that one snippet
The next day, it was on ESPN. I was like, wow, what is going on here? It's just ridiculous. But, nah, I think this is really lays on the hands of both of them Shanahan, Papa Shanahan and son. The way he's calling these games, I just don't understand.
I agree with you, and that's what I meant by running Alfred Morris when I made that statement. Because, yes, he's number five in NFL in rushing. However, when you completely abandon a run and you're down maybe, 7 to 10 points, but you're still using play action, and then you're throwing to people, and I'm not trying to knock Isaac Robinson, but again, the kid has dropped critical passes at critical times. And that's something that he's been known for over the past couple of years since he's been with the Redskins. So if you're going to call this play...
What happened in the Minnesota game? They ran him and ran him. They were still behind.
Yes,
and they ran.
But Michael,
Hello, they start making them run and come back. I mean,
that's not the run game. If you're going to talk about Hello and Morris together, they're mixing and mashing. Okay? Hello has gotten more touchdowns because he's been in there when people think people are going to throw the ball. And they hand it to him, and he's done well.
The point that I'm getting to
is this: that if you're going to run Alfred Morris and you're going to use play action, keep him in there for a few of those pass plays. It looks like they're going to keep him in there to block. Throw him a screen or two, but the application of his 224 rushes have not been the same application as of last year or the same type of system running that they did last year. Now, I don't know if it's because Fred Davis was a better blocker. I don't know if they've decided, well, we're going to change the zone scheme or who you're going to pick up. I really can't touch it. But teams have decided to line the box up and commit to either the quarterback or the running back. So there's no longer, well, who's going to get the ball? And a lot of folks that are running this system, like the 49ers, they're getting met in the backfield at the mesh point. So either the quarterback, Kaepernick's getting hit, or Gore's getting hit. Same thing's happened with RG3. Only team that's really having any real success with it right now are the Carolina Panthers. But that's because Cam is a bigger, stronger guy and is running his butt off, and he's taking hits. Robert can't take those same type of hits. He's not 250, 260, 6'5". He's not built to take those hits, and he's been taking a lot of hits. So when they run the ball, even when it's not working, you keep running and making it a longer game.
Okay.
You make it a longer, harder game for whoever. Yeah, your defense is going to be out there, but you're going to make it a nasty game. You revert it back to like what the Baltimore Ravens did with Jamal Lewis and Dilfer at quarterback. You smash that ball and let your defense play. You give them a rest, run the ball three times, and then you set them up a play action. That's what I'm talking about with the game plan and the game calling. If you're going to run if you're going to run Alfred Morris, get that dude the ball 30 times a game. Give it to him. Whether it's working or not, give it to him. Don't give him 20 times or less than 20, and then split it with Roy Hello. Yeah, bring him in for third down and whatnot, but pound that
you
and make it a hard game.
Victor, you're basically saying the same. You just regurgitating the same thing you said, the same point you made, and you're just making the same thing. And it's the same.
Yeah, I'm not trying to change what I'm saying.
A lot of the Redskins fans have been saying over and over and over again, and my counter to that is they've been running the ball. They've been running the ball. They've been giving it. They've been feeding it. They've been giving him the ball. But the problem is they cannot pass the ball. They cannot pass the, they're not passing the ball. They're not getting the ball to the receiver. I understand what you're talking about. They're being met at the mesh point and stuff like that. Last year, what they were able to do was to utilize the fact that that the teams were committing to the quarterback and to the running back. But for some reason this year, they're not doing it. They're not utilizing the play action as much. They're not even going back to something more conventional. They're not even sliding the damn pocket. I get so tired.
I know
of
that. Yeah.
I'm like, yo, could y'all move the pocket? The teams want to keep Robert inside the tackle box. They want to keep him there. So move him out of there. I can remember hundred touchdowns that he threw to Santana last year when they were moving the pocket. And that's what, one of the things you want to do, because you have athletic offensive linemen. Move them. You know what I'm saying? I'm about done with them. But really frustrated with them. Really frustrated with that.
Well, a lot of people are. And this is why Jerry wanted to talk about RG3, because of the way he throws out verbiage, and folks are, you know, what he's saying is law, pretty much, and the way his demeanor is. And my counter to that is, I just look at what Cam Newton had last year, how he did pretty much the same thing. Now, how Steve Smith, you know, was verbal in his criticism of Cam, same thing that Santana Moss is doing. But with that being said, JT, I'm going to let you have the last word on this, and we're going to move to week 13.
All I've been saying, and I said it last year, and I'm saying it again, he needs to stop talking, because every time he talks out, it seems like either he says the wrong thing or it's being taken in the wrong context. So what you should do is don't say anything. Just go out and play.
When is he saying things? I mean, he's doing, two press conferences. He does one after the game, and he does one on Wednesday, just like
no,
any other quarterback in the league.
He's been doing more than two press conferences.
This is my point to you. That's the reason.
He's been talking more than that, though. That's just what I'm saying.
No, Jerry. No, that's it.
He's been talking during the week.
No,
he's been talking during the week. Yes, he has.
Jerry, that's my point to you. He only does two press conferences every week. He does one after the game, and he does one on Wednesday, just like every other NFL quarterback. That's it.
Well, it's a lot of his verbiage that stirs up a lot of his talk that goes on throughout the week. And, you know, it's a matter of you don't have to be PC when you make these comments, but it's a weekly update every week or every other day, whatever the case may be. But go ahead, finish it out, Jerry, so we can get to
Just listen to this. And I'm gonna name some guys off, and these guys have learned to say the right things at the right time without saying too much to have the media take it one way or the other. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and those three guys, and I'm not grouping Robert Griffin III into that category, but I'm grouping them in because they're quarterbacks. They're named quarterbacks with a big name. All three of them guys have won at least one Super Bowl. Robert Griffin III hasn't. I understand that. But what I'm saying is this. When you use a quarterback, when you're the quarterback and you're basically the face of the franchise, you have to choose your words accordingly. You have to make sure you choose your words accordingly, because the fact is either what you say comes out of your mouth can upset your defense, upset your linemen, upset someone on your offensive side of the ball, or take a shot at your coaching staff. Robert Griffin III, in my opinion, has done all three of those because he hasn't tempered his words. He even said, I'm trying to give you an honest answer. But those three guys, among other quarterbacks in the league, including Aaron Rodgers, have been able to temper their frustration, whatever side of the ball they feel is giving them problems on the team, and satisfied with the media, answering the media. Robert Griffin III hasn't mastered that yet, and he's paying the price for it.
I disagree with you. I remember just distinctively every one of those quarterbacks going through a firestorm. Every one of them. I remember the second year Peyton Manning came out and threw like 4 or 5 interceptions and then came out and called out the entire offensive line. I remember that distinctively. I remember Drew Brees talking a whole lot of smack about Roger Goodell, you know, when the whole Bounty Gate thing came about, and the media was just having a field day with him.
Let's move on from that, because we only got 40 minutes left alive there. But I will say this. The young guy, RG3 I'm talking about, the proof will be in the pudding next year. He can finish out strong this year, which I hope he does, and come back next year fully healed. Hopefully he'll have some more weapons, and the team will be better. But time will tell. We can talk about that more when we get to that game. But right now, the big game that we're going to talk about is Denver going to Kansas City. Now, I don't understand how Kansas City let San Diego whoop up on them and put 40-some-odd points on them. In that game, they lost their two best pass rushers.
That's why.
Tamba Lee and Chris Houston. Now, I don't know if – I think Tamba Lee practiced. I think he practiced. I don't know the deal with Chris Houston.
Chris Houston is probably going to be out two to three weeks, I think. Tamba Lee, from what I understand, is between questionable and probable to play with a sprained ankle.
Now, here's the issue here. They didn't put any pressure on Peyton Manning last time. They played a lot of coverage. Without those two guys coming off the end, will they be able to put any type of pressure on them, or will Peyton have all day to throw the ball? Now, it's in Kansas City where it's very tough to win. San Diego pulled it off last week. It was like, if you have Kansas City's defense, I think it's time to put them on the bench until the playoffs or your playoffs start and pick up somebody like the Jets, in my opinion, because it's not going to be an easy day for Kansas City on Sunday or on the 14th. It's just not going to be a nice game, in my opinion. But with that being said, Thomas, the tight end, he's questionable at this point. Might change the probable, we don't know, but he set out last week. So apparently it was very hard on him. Nick and Tammy stepped in, did very well. Eric Decker got one ball thrown to him. Thomas, the receiver, did well. My guy, Wes Welker, had a concussion or came off a concussion and didn't do well. But the main guy that's helping to make Peyton Manning the MVP of the league and the Denver Broncos what they are is walking on crutches. So no Sean Marino. He is the cause in this game that will swing it left or right for me. I'm going to put this out there. If No. Sean Marino does not play, Denver loses the game. I don't trust Ronnie Hillman. I don't trust Monty Ball. And I don't trust the rookie. The other rookie, I should say, that they got, the free agent guy that they got.
C.J. Anderson.
Anderson, thank you very much. I don't trust any of them. I don't. Because Kansas City secondary is decent enough to cover the wide receivers, but Derek Johnson can't make all the tackles on his own at the linebacker spot. And without that solid running game of No. Sean, I think Kansas City wins this game. But if No. Sean plays and is productive, I think Denver wins. So that's my 50-50 deal there. I'm putting it out there right now. I want to go Mike and Jerry for the rest of the show.
Broncos should take this.
If the Kansas City does not have their pass rush of Lamar Houston and Tamba Ali, and it looks like one half of those guys are not going to be playing, and Tamba Ali is probably going to be limited, Philip Rivers had all day once those two guys were out of the game. He had all day to look about and throw the ball down the field. The comparison between the two offensive lines, meaning Denver and San Diego, are not aren't comparable. Denver definitely has a better offensive line, in my opinion. That being the case, Denver shouldn't have any problem winning the game. I know they're going to try to run the ball like crazy with Jamaal Charles, but Denver's got too much firepower. Those five options in the passing game, including the running game, I can't see it. I see Denver winning pretty easily here.
Okay. Let's move on. Tennessee and Indianapolis, where the Titans, they have playoff hopes, and they need to beat the Colts. Now, the Colts, by virtue of their division, because this is a divisional game, they could lock up a playoff spot by defeating Tennessee. Now, looking at it, Jim Irsay, and that's one dude that I like. I mean, dude just goes on internet and Twitter and blasts his team, and, you know, he doesn't hold anything back. So he basically says, we need to find a way to win a game. We need to win now. We need to win a division. To me, what I'm hearing, and it might not be the case, but what I'm hearing is, Chuck Pagano, I love you, great guy, but if you can't win these last games and get us in the playoffs, you're on the hot seat. That's what I'm hearing. Because I've given you the money, I've given you players, now you make do with what the players that you have. And the defenses have stepped up pretty well. It's that offensive line, that trade for Trent Richardson, which I don't know who thought it up, but at the time, it seemed like a great idea. But the backup, Donald Brown, has since taken more snaps and more touchdowns, more yards, more everything than Trent Richardson, even though they're in a timeshare. So that's problematic. On the opposite side, Fitzpatrick, he's finding ways to get things done. Chris Johnson hasn't been that explosive lately, but he's been good enough. It's in Indianapolis, and that's the only reason why, because you have no outside threats other than T.Y. Hilton. That is it. Kobe Flinders stepped up, but other than T.Y. Hilton, who do you got a receiver? Darius Haywood-Bey, bust. Thanks, Ricky, for that one. Who else? I don't even know who their third receiver is, but they're not a threat. So I'm picking Indianapolis based on the fact that they're playing at home and they're going to try to control the clock. Not because they're going to put a lot of points up, but because they want to keep Tennessee's defense on the field and the offense off. Go ahead, Michael.
I'll take Indianapolis, but Irsay is an idiot.
Okay. All right. Jerry?
Well, I have to echo the same words. I think the owner is a complete, you know, just like I said about RG3, I think this owner, and owners should just be owners, not go out and call their team out. You call your team out when you go and talk to them, or you go and talk to the general president of football operations or president or your coach. You don't call them out on Twitter. That tells me the owner thinks he's more important than his freaking team when he decides to call him out in public on Twitter. I really have a problem with Jim Irsay. He's very full of himself, for one, and think he's got a Super Bowl team, which he doesn't. He has a very good team, but he doesn't have a Super Bowl team yet. And he wants to have that instant gratification of having one, which he thinks he does, but he doesn't. Indianapolis is a young team with a young quarterback. I know Andrew Luck this is his second year. He's been playing well. He doesn't play that well on the road, even though Indianapolis is 4-2 on the road and 3-2 at home, and 3-0 in the conference. I mean, 3-0 in the division and 5-2 in the conference. So they're not doing a bad job. So every team goes through a rough time, whether they have find ways to win through that rough time or they find ways to lose through that rough time. Indianapolis is 7-4. They got a 2-game lead in the division. What's the problem? They lost last week, okay? They got smacked last week, okay? Every team does that. Every team has a problem with at least one team or struggles. It's just the nature of the beast. In this game, it's a division game. Tennessee can close the gap. Tennessee probably needs the game more than Indianapolis does, and they're on the road playing a division rival. And Tennessee is 0-3 in the division. So they definitely need a division win. But I have to go with Indianapolis because they're playing home, and they do play better at home.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. If you go over to our sponsor, FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, and you register for the site, and you go to NFL, they're adjustable, adjustable spreads. And right now, Indianapolis is a 3-point spread lead. Do you think they'll cover that 3-point spread, JT?
Do I think Indianapolis will cover that 3-point? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes,
well, you go
I do.
To FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com. That's a negative 130, so that means you're going to make a little bit of money, not much. Make a little bit of money if you do that. You got parlays, if bets, teasers, pleasers, progressives, action reserve, future bets, many, many more. All right, let's move on to the next game, which actually looks like it might be a pretty good game because both teams are starting to come around a little bit. Talking about Jacksonville at Cleveland, where Cleveland is a 7.5-point favorite in this matchup. Here's what I'm seeing, though. If you go to FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, that if you're picking the Browns to cover 8, it's 7.5, they got to get 8. It's kind of freaky to me because here's a game where I see Josh Gordon going off. And again, I'm going to thank Jerry Taylor for trading me Josh Gordon. 2 weeks in a row, Josh Gordon has been the reason why he's lost 2 bets straight to me. Just want to point that out. But Josh Gordon and Brandon Wheaton they're compatible, along with Jordan Cameron. So there might be a resurgence of Jordan Cameron in this game. But can Jacksonville actually get 2 wins this season by beating the Browns, Jerry? Well, Michael, let's go you first. I'm going to pick, because it's in Cleveland, I'm going to pick Cleveland. But what do you think, Mike?
I'm going with Cleveland.
Okay. Jerry?
Wow.
I don't think they're going to cover the 7.5. That's just me. But that's on that one site. You might have your own site to go to. But 7.5 is a lot for Cleveland.
Hold on. Hold on a minute here, and I'll give you a quick answer here. 1, and it's 8. 7.5, I'd go with the Jags. I'd go with the Jags because I think the Jags will cover the spread. Let me put it that way. Even though the Jags score less than 13 points a game versus Cleveland, who scores on average 18 points a game, the Jags give up, on average, 29 points a game versus Cleveland giving up 24 points a game. So you just do the math and you figure that this game is going to be within a touchdown. So if it's 7.5, I would take the underdog in this because I think it's going to be less than a 7-point win that Cleveland has.
Okay. But you're picking Cleveland to win straight up?
Yes, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. Jacksonville Cleveland has a better defense. They have a better overall defense. even though that and Jacksonville is absolutely horrible. They've won two games, but they're going on the road. It's going to be cold. They're a southern team going to a cold environment, playing a Cleveland Browns that can, I wouldn't say are exceptional running the ball, but can run the ball effectively, which Jacksonville can't protect the run. And you know they got Josh Gordon, Jordan Cameron, and company on that. Brandon Weeden, despite his ineptitude, can get the ball to those guys, and they can make plays. So, yes, I have to take Cleveland.
All right. Let's move on down south where the Buccaneers go to take on the Carolina Panthers. Now, the spread on this one, and it's very interesting to me, is 9 points. I don't think they're going to cover nine. I really don't think Carolina's going to cover nine on Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is red hot right now. Matter of fact, I'm picking Tampa to win this game. But this is crazy because the next game I got after this is another crazy thing in my head, but maybe you guys will see it differently. But 9 points on Carolina to win over Tampa? That's crazy. Go to FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com and win some money today if I were you. But that's crazy. I got Tampa winning straight up. What you got, Mike?
I definitely will go with the Panthers. That coach is a mess. I don't care how many games they don't win. He's over. They need to get him up out of there.
But, okay, but before I let you go, Jerry, let me ask you this, though. Tampa Bay has been putting together over the last 3 weeks. So has Carolina, no doubt in that. You don't think that Carolina stands a real good chance of losing this game to Tampa, even though they put it together?
No. It'll crash. It's fool's gold. It's fool's gold. That dude just showed you, and he's proven to you that he is not a leader of men. He's shown you that. Perfectly shown you that. The dude is only playing for their paycheck or playing for the right to play somewhere else so they don't look totally terrible. But that don't mean that they're going to be playing to win or be playing for the purpose of being a champion. No.
Okay. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, I have to take Carolina. And yet again, they're playing in Tampa Bay, right?
No, they're playing in Carolina.
Yes. Tampa Bay is 1-4 on the road. They're 1-3 in the division. They give up 23 points a game versus scoring 19 points a game versus Carolina, who scores 23 points a game and gives up 14. If you average that out, that tells me that Tampa Bay will cover. But this is probably one game I wouldn't play the spread in because the fact is I think this game, from what I'm seeing, it can go either way on a point spread, but I think Carolina is going to win the game straight up.
Okay. Now to a game that is surprising me on the site, and that's one second, fella. Azure? Okay. Chicago goes to Minnesota, and it's a pick'em game, which is ridiculous. So I'm a little worried about this game. Why is it a pick'em? Because Josh McCown is leading his team over the past couple weeks, and to me, I'm like, there isn't that much of a drop-off. I guess it is the way it is because Matt Forte has had some issues. And there's a chance that Matt Forte might not get a lot of running time. I was very mad that Michael Bush stole one of those touchdowns last week because I could have used it. But this is a pick'em game against Minnesota. I don't see that. I don't see this as a pick'em game. I think Chicago should be favored in this game. But I want to hear from you guys. Let me know how you feel and what you think, because it's it's shocking to me. What you got, Mike? I'm picking Chicago, by the way.
Yeah, I'm picking Chicago, but it is a flip because, you know, both of these teams, they got their woes and their division rivals. So, yeah, I can see why it's a pick 'em, but I would definitely go with Chicago.
Well, you know, I'll do this. I can see.
What are you doing, you say
it's a pick'em game?
Yep. According to Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com, it is a pick'em game.
Jesus, you need to change that name.
Well, if it's a pick'em game, in my opinion, they're playing in Minnesota, but the better quarterback play is Chicago. So I'm going with Chicago. And Chicago probably will probably win it, and not cover, because it's a pick 'em game. Chicago will probably win this game by about 3 or 4 points, somewhere around there.
I got
you.
Because
the simple fact is, Minnesota's 0-3 in the division. Chicago's 2-2. Chicago gives up 309 points, and Minnesota gives up 346 in the last 11 games. That equates to 31 points a game on average that Minnesota gives up to their opponent. To their opponent. You got 31 points. They're the worst. I'm looking right now, and from what I'm seeing here, they're the worst in the NFL. They're the worst in the NFL. Washington is just one tick ahead of them. Minnesota's the worst in the NFL. Their defense. So, even though they're playing in Minnesota, I see Chicago winning this game. And I can't believe it's a pick 'em.
The over under is 50. I don't think it's going to be 50. That's
over under is 50?
Yes, man.
Well, on average, Chicago scores 27 points. On average, Minnesota scores 24 points. Now, on average, Chicago gives up 28 points, and on average, Minnesota gives up 31. 51 points.
Okay, then I see that.
That's close. That's probably about right where it's going to be about.
Wow. All right, let's move on to the next game. We're talking about the going to win me some money and break me even, except you owe me 50. The Arizona Cardinals take on the surprisingly hot Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia has not won but one game, unfortunately, came against my Redskins, at home in the past 11 tries. Arizona is the flavor of the month, so to speak. Bruce Arians, everybody's buying into Bruce Arians. I said this when we did the AFC breakdown. This guy is the difference maker for that team. And also picked them to go to the playoffs. If you go back to the archives and listen, I said that they will make the playoffs and San Fran would, because that will be the game that decides to make the playoffs. Actually, I said three teams from the AFC West will make the playoffs. I said that it will be Seahawks, 49ers, and Cardinals. But it looks like the 49ers might not make the playoffs. They beat up on the Redskins, who hasn't this year. But I don't think it's going to take place any better for them coming up. So Arizona goes into the vet with a smoking hot offense and a smoking hot defense. The problem is they haven't ran up against an up-tempo offense like Chip Kelly. That's the problem. They are 3-point underdogs, where Philly is the 3-point favorite in this game. Regardless of that, I think Michael Floyd is the big difference in this game. He has been in the past couple games helping out Larry Fitzgerald, who's seen a lot of single coverage as of late. Their running game is still a mess, but that has never stopped Bruce Arians before. But the defense has stepped up big time. Big time. So I'm picking Arizona to win. Let's go, Mike. They're
going to
cover the three.
Arizona.
right. Arizona, go ahead, Jerry.
Oh, boy, this is what's the point spread in this game?
3, Philly. Over, well, under.
Yeah, it should be, because both these teams are pretty comparable. You've already said it. At home, Philly's only 1-4. They're 2-3. They're 5-2 in the conference. They score on average about 23 points a game. Give up about the same. They give up about 24 points a game. Where Arizona scores about 23 points a game and gives up about 20. These two teams are pretty evenly matched, believe it or not. But I'm giving a push to Philly, not because we have a bet, but because I'm adding 3 points because they're playing at home, and I think that 3 points is going to push them over and just barely beat the spread. I like Philly in this game and to get their second win. They've established who their quarterback is for the rest of the season, so it's not up in the air. I know, you know, there's other guys in that locker room are probably saying, well, Vic's healthy. Is he going to be back, or are we going to keep rolling with Nick? Well, they're rolling with Nick now, and he seems like he's been pretty effective. Hasn't had a turnover, especially interception, in, what, 3 games, if I'm not mistaken? 16 touchdowns and no interceptions? I like Philly.
That's
going to
change.
And the fact is, And I grabbed them all anyway because I have to use them in my fantasy. Carson Palmer, I know, has been red hot, but home versus away, he doesn't play as well. So I think Philly's defense has been playing a little bit better than they have in the past, and I think they get the win.
All right, these next 2 games. I'm going to tell you guys. Y'all, I'm serious when I say this. Now, I'm not just doing this because they sponsor the show. But Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com have the next 2 games that I'm about to talk about at 9-point favorites, one of which I understand. The one I'm about to talk about, I have no clue why they did this. Time for you to go win some money. I'm talking about St. Louis going to San Francisco. The Rams are 9.5-point dogs to San Francisco. 9.5-point dogs to San Francisco, who they normally play tough all the time. All the time. I'm definitely picking St. Louis to win straight up, but I'm also going to, if I were going to Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com, I would place that wager for St. Louis to cover. Because that's a ridiculous number.
Hey. Hello?
Victor, you there? Hello, Victor. Hello, Victor. We seem like we lost Victor. Mike, what do you think about St. Louis and San Francisco?
I like San Francisco to win this. They should pull that one out. They should pull that one out. I'm gonna go with San Francisco.
All right. St. Louis is let me go this way. San Francisco scores about 24 points a game. St. Louis scores about the same. San Francisco defense is a pretty much everybody knows San Francisco's defense is a lot better than St. Louis.
But they allow about 9.5 point favorite.
They allow about 17 points a game. Compared to St. Louis, who allows about 23 points a game. So you do the math. You figure that San Francisco is going to score about 23 points, and that St. Louis is going to be close to that also. Wow. 9.5 points?
Yep.
Even if I equated a 3-point plus because of the home team, I still couldn't justify a 9.5 point favorite in San Francisco. Maybe they're enamored with the way that Colin Kaepernick played last week, but I think that was an anomaly because you look at the prior weeks to that, and he hasn't been playing that well. And he had one little uptick in his play. I understand they're getting Michael Crabtree back, but you don't know what you're going to get with Michael Crabtree. They're going to limit his snaps. I take that all day. I take St. Louis all day in that one. There's no way. In my opinion, there is absolutely no way. That, to me, and probably the odds will change, but that to me is a gift. If they're 9.5 point favorite, that means they have to win by 10 points against a division rival who plays them tough every time they play them. Especially Colin Kaepernick, and Colin Kaepernick struggles against St. Louis. So I can't see it.
Me neither. I mean, it's crazy because the over under is 41.
I can understand that because I can understand that it's going to be about that because that's what on average these two teams score.
I got that. But what I'm saying is, if you're saying the over-under is 41, but you're saying 49ers are going to win by 10, crazy.
That's crazy. You're right. I totally agree.
All right. Sorry that I had a little disruption there for a minute. I don't know what happened. Did we get my cousin?
Yeah.
Did you?
He took the 49ers.
Took the 49ers. All right.
Straight
on to the next thing that I said was another 9-point game, according to the website. New England goes to your team, the Houston Texans, baby. And guess who's the 9-point dog in this one?
Oh, I would never know. Is it that other they got three of them this year. They got three of them. 2-9 teams, Atlanta,
yeah, I know.
Jacksonville,
I know.
And Houston.
I know.
So it must be that 2-9 team from the great state of Texas, the Texans.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now, again, there are different ranges on this website. You can pick either first half of the game or whatever it may be. This site allows you to do the whole game, quarter, half, just like everybody else. But this game right here, Houston hosts New England Patriots. Tom Brady and his toys. Back at it again. 9-point favorite. Now, in this game, I'm going to tell you, New England will cover the 9 points. This is the only one I'm going to say that the team's going to cover the 9, because I don't see anybody getting blown out this week by 10 points. Unless it's Kansas City, and that's because they have no pass rush. But New England is cooking on all cylinders now. They struggled a little bit. We don't know who the running back's going to be, but Brandon Bolden looks like he's in line to be the starting tailback because of Stephen Ridley's fumble problems, and LeGarrette Blount, he's not going to be the answer. And Shane Vereen is a change of pace back. So the guy that's going to get most of the toast is going to be Brandon Bolden. So with that being said, I'm going to pick New England to win and by 9 points.
Is it 9 or 9.5?
They're nine. But you can adjust it. You can adjust it to 9.5. You can adjust the thing on there yourself. But right now,
mm-hmm.
it's nine.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, Mike.
Hey, are you picking the Patriots, huh? I'll take the Patriots on this game. Patriots are rounding out as they normally do around this time of the year, starting to look more like a contender than a pretender. They really looked like pretenders earlier this year. I ain't gonna lie to you. But as usual, they scrap, they get it together, and they get dudes from off the street, and they make it happen.
They find ways to win.
They sure do. They sure do.
And we both talked about this, Mike. Somebody on the station said a bold prediction, supposedly a bold, but it was an idiotic prediction.
You know,
that the
it
Patriots,
wasn't idiotic.
That,
I,
yes,
I wasn't.
Wait a minute. Just I listened to you. Didn't say anything. Just now it's my turn.
Oh, my God.
And,
okay,
and the fact is that New England, because of the quarterback and the coach, who's one of the best coaches of all time, unfortunately, I'm saying that. I don't like the New England Patriots, but I have to admit that, find ways to win when they struggled the most. They're 8-3 with a 3-game lead in the division, and they're clearly going to win that division because both of those teams are sub-500 on their way down, not on their way up. Are going to win this game. They're going against my Houston Texans. I do believe they're going to win the game, but I don't think they're going to cover. The reason I'm saying this, on average, Patriots score 26 points a game, okay? If you equate, and they give up 21 points a game. Houston, on average, is scoring 18 points a game and giving up 26 points a game, okay? That's probably an 8-point difference there, quite naturally, but I factor in that they're at home. Houston's at home. So I'm giving them an extra 3 points, a field goal, an extra 3 points for the home field advantage, which is going to tip the scale in my favor in the spread. So I don't think New England's going to cover the spread, but I think they're going to win the game.
Okay. And just to clarify, y'all two are wrong. But anyway, I'll talk about that later. In another game,
was that Billy Jean or
Vic said we're wrong. We're wrong in the game, but not wrong
in the
season, McCall.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry, was
all
that
I'm
Billy
saying,
Jean or beat it?
All I'm saying is.
Or was that the moonwalk?
Whatever.
That moonwalk. That's the moonwalk. That's the moonwalk.
teams let opportunity slip out of
Stop.
The game.
Stop.
And it's up to the team
when the opportunity arises to seize the moment. And who seizes the moment the most? And who seizes the moment most? Who seizes the moment most? At 8-3.
I admit it.
Okay.
I admit it. But okay. I was not too far off. Teams just didn't seize the moment.
What do you mean not too far off? You're way off.
Let's move on. No, let's move on to a game that is called a pick'em. Now, I don't understand why these pick'em. I really don't. I know both teams are hot, but I wouldn't call it a pick'em. Cincinnati travels to San Diego. And I know Cincinnati isn't that great of a road team, but this is an opportunity for them to stick a dagger in San Diego's heart because there's a great possibility that three teams will come out of the AFC West if San Diego wins this game. I think Cincinnati coming off a bye week, they've had time to refresh care of things, but, you know, it is what it is. San Diego, I don't think they're going to win this game, even though they're at home. I think Giovanni Bernard, A.J. Green, Tyler Eifert, and that tough, tough defense will step up and make things happen. Now, we got 1 minute left of live air, ladies and gentlemen. 1 minute left of live air. So we want to thank our sponsor. And by thanking our sponsors, we want you to go to FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com and jump on there and take advantage of some of these outrageous, and I mean outrageous, point spreads. I wouldn't have believed it if I didn't see it myself. But we want to thank our sponsor, and hopefully we'll rake in some dough at some point. We'll see what happens with that. You can always catch the Master Plan Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Monday, we'll have Sylvia Crawley with Time Out. But Sylvia Crawley, she's taking a little time away right now to deal with the loss in her family. Hopefully she'll be back Wednesday. If not, we'll play another show.
Then on Thursdays, you have FSP Cruise Show, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Black, Jeff, and Jerry, they do what they do, and they have fun doing it, breaking down the NFL week, as well as what happens during the regular season. Then on Fridays, you have No Chaser with Matt Williams and Jerry Taylor at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check them out. Nothing really political going on nowadays, but I'm quite sure Matt will find something. I know he'll have a guest, and it'll be a good time for all to tune in. Now you get to yell at him for a minute. We'll see. Then come right back to me and JT on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now next Saturday, JT's going to be riding solo here, FSP, as well as the Master Plan. He has a new co-host, by the way. His new co-host, Reverend Fantasy. Reverend Fantasy. He's going to lay down some scriptures for you, hopefully tomorrow. But JT will be doing both shows by himself, unfortunately, because we have to work. But he got a great
So even though this weekend is a good weekend, next weekend, flying solo Saturday and Sunday, I will have a great weekend.
Oh, really? 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 You backhanded comment? I got you, loser. Anyway, with that being said, let's go back to this game between this supposedly a pick'em now. I don't agree with it. Supposedly a pick'em. Cincinnati goes to San Diego. I'm picking Cincinnati, and it's just because I think they're the better overall team. What do you got, Mike?
I'm going with San Diego. They hot. Rivers is throwing out his mind right about now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right that Cincinnati is 2-4 on the road, and Andy Dalton, I understand they're coming off a bye, but they're traveling coming off a bye. They're going from Cincinnati, Ohio, all the way to the West Coast to play the newly inspired, especially when they kicked the division rival, Kansas City Chiefs, talking about the San Diego Chargers playing at home in their home stadium. I truly believe this is a pick'em. This is definitely a pick'em. Cincinnati scores on average about 24 points a game, gives up about 19 compared to San Diego, who on both sides, for and against, give up about 24 points a game. But if you average that out, you think that Cincinnati is going to score their average. You also think that San Diego is going to score close to their average also. And I'm also going to bump them up because they're home with a +3. So this is, in fact, a pick'em game. But I do like San Diego because of what the record is on Cincinnati on the road. Andy Dalton doesn't play well on the road, and I think they're going to suffer, meaning Cincinnati, for it. So I like San Diego along with Macau to win this game.
All right, now to the game that could make a whole lot of people in the metropolitan area of Washington, D.C., or the metropolis of New York very sad or very happy. Come up Sunday night game, whereas the Washington Redskins take on the New York football giants at FedEx Field. Now, got some mixed emotions in this game because I know that pass rush defense of New York can be a little tough for the Redskins to handle. However, if our receiver can catch the ball, if Josh Reed returns, because I don't even know what happened with Fred Davis. I don't think Fred Davis got one catch last week. And that could have been a big issue there as well. But if Josh Reed returns...
Jordan Reed.
I'm thinking about Josh Morgan, because he made some good catches too. But if Jordan Reed can return, that gives him a set of reliable hands. If you notice, that's who he started throwing to a lot. Once Reed got inserted, Reed caught most of the ball, not the receivers, but Reed. So if he can return and Morgan can step up and Santana can step up, Pierre Garçon, I don't know. this isn't a homer pick. This is not a homer pick. And the Giants, by the way, are favorite. Oh, excuse me. This is also a pick 'em game. This is also a pick 'em game. But the over-under in it is, good Lord, 45.5.
Yep.
45.5.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick my team. I'm going to pick the Skins because I think they're a little bit better than what the Giants have to offer. Now, again, in my opinion, they have to stop Andre Brown. Victor Cruz has always given us fits, but at the same time, Santana has given them fits as well. But the new weapon of Jordan Reed, can be that equalizer for the Redskins. Now, I know Jerry's in that area. He really doesn't like. I hope this kid is not getting my discard. I know you don't like the Giants too much because you were a Jets fan. Continue to be a Jets fan.
No, I'm not. But I don't like the Giants anyway. So I think they. But I'll wait. I'll wait. I'm sorry.
Okay. So with that being said, I'm gonna move to my cousin. Let's see if he picks with his heart or his mind or both.
I'll pick with my mind, fool. Redskins, the play calling is just totally suspect. I don't care if Jordan Reed is in there or not. Robert Griffin is more—he's more comfortable throwing the ball to his wide receiver. In all the films I've watched him throw, he does not get the ball to the tight end quite often. Which is a big surprise with Jordan Reed coming about and them throwing the ball to him, but I don't even think that still ain't enough. These dudes got to catch them long bombs. They got to get that downfield game going. They got to get the play action going. They need to stop playing Mickey Mouse games. And if they are gonna play that little Mickey Mouse game, they need to do it right. And you know, make this a chess game, not a checkers game. But I think the Giants are gonna come in and just spank up on the Redskins. I'm picking the Giants.
Really?
I was not expecting that.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, let me give you some statistics here because this is in my opinion, a very interesting game. First of all, would you tell me what the over under was?
45.
It's going to go over that.
According to
okay.
fantasysportsbook and casino.com.
It's going to go over 45 points. That's in my mind, that's a no-brainer. Giants, on average, score 19 points a game. They give up 25. Conversely, the Washington Redskins, on average, score 23 points a game and give up 30. So you figure that the Giants, if you figure out the for and against, the Giants are going to score about 25 points. And the Washington Redskins are going to score about 24 points, give or take. And that's why the game's a pick'em, because on average, if you take those two defenses and the two offenses and average it out, they're going to be very close in the overall score. They're playing in Washington, okay? So quite naturally, I'm giving the plus three for that one field goal and home field advantage. So I'm giving the game to Washington, and I'm giving the point spread. If it's a pick 'em, and if I say Washington, then I like Washington. Giants. Eli Manning, and I'm surprised you guys didn't bring this up. Eli Manning doesn't play well against the Washington Redskins. He has some pretty bad games against the Washington Redskins over the last few years, and the fact is they're playing in Washington, and all the turmoil is. Regardless of how I talked about the Washington Redskins, they're going to bring this team. They're going to tighten this team up. And I wouldn't say one last stand, but these guys are going to rally around each other for the fact that there's so much swirling around them right now. And they're playing a division rival, and a division rival whose quarterback doesn't play well against them. I like the Washington Redskins in this game.
You know why I said that, Jerry? Because we haven't played them all year. This is the first time we played them.
Right.
All year.
Normally, we've been played them by week four, and I can
yes.
give you a better
yes.
analysis of it.
Yes.
But we have
yes.
played them all. We have not played them all year. So normally, the first game, they'll come out and put something. But the whole field advantage here, it ain't even a factor.
I think it makes a difference.
But you are dead on with Eli having a tough time with the Redskins. He normally
yes.
throws one or two interceptions a game.
Yes, yes. In fact, in fantasy, I won league, which I have to win to maintain my number one seeding in my league. And the choices of defenses were slim, to say the least. I've taken the Washington Redskins. For the simple fact is, I know Eli Manning doesn't play well against the Washington Redskins, and all the things that are going on, these guys are going to come out flying around the ball. I really believe that. I really have the strongest feeling about the Redskins this week compared to some other weeks, that they're really going to try to make a statement, especially against the Giants, and especially against a quarterback that doesn't play well against them, which is Eli Manning.
Okay. Let's move on to the last game of the weekend. It's Monday night, and it's a 5.5-point favorite for Seattle. 5.5. In Seattle, 47.5 spread. I'll pick the under in that. But, again, I might not, because I'm looking at Seattle, and they lost one for sure, and one's on the way out. Of their three starting D-backs, Mr. Thurman is getting suspended, and Brandon Browder, who, by the way, Seattle has already said he's done with him. So Mr. Browder, once his contract is up this year, he's free to go wherever, but whoever picks him up has that one strike rule, because this is his third offense. So whoever picks up Browder, after he comes back from this one-year suspension, after it's upheld, he has one strike, and he's done. Golden Tate came out and said he doesn't want to throw them under the bus, but, he said but, some of those guys put themselves above the team.
Yep.
I'm not saying that Pete Carroll's way or Pete Carroll's team is falling apart. I'm not saying that. But that defense is the staple of that team. And Mr. Wilson is starting to take over that team. Pete Carroll's starting to feed him weapons. Percy Harvin being a big weapon. Marshawn Lynch maybe has one or two good years left in him, but they need to start finding a replacement for him. On the flip side, New Orleans, Mark Ingram is getting himself together. Pierre Thomas is doing a lot better.
Yep.
So I'm going to pick the Saints, and I'll explain in a minute, but go ahead, Michael.
This game is going to be a shootout. I take over that 47.5. I do it. Yes, I would do it. This game is going to be a shootout, mark my words. Mr. Breeze is going to come in there and try to throw up a storm, but it ain't going to be enough. Seattle's going to take it. That 12th man up there is no joke. It is no joke at all. I like Seattle in this. I like their defense. They should take it. What's the spread? What's the point spread?
5.5.
Ooh.
Who's favorite?
They not covering
Seattle.
That.
Seattle's favorite by 5.5?
Seattle's favorite by 5.5.
Are you
they
serious?
Not covering
Seattle's
that.
Favorite by 5.5.
They not covering that. They not
this
covering
is according
that.
According to the website. This is,
okay.
I mean, it might
okay.
be different in other places, but according to the website,
mm-hmm.
that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, they not covering that. They not covering that. This is going to be probably like a three-pointer.
Wow. All right. Seattle is plus 127 and four and against point differential. All right. They're quite naturally, they're 5-0 at home. Everybody knows Seattle. I've said this a long time ago. They're like a night and day team. They've gotten better on the road, but they're like undefeated on at home. Conversely, New Orleans is plus 109 in for and against in point differential. And 3-2 on the road. Now, New Orleans gives up 196 points, which equates to, up until these 11 games, 18 points a game. Seattle gives up 16 points a game. And they, both of these teams score 28 points a game on the offense. I give a plus for Seattle because they're playing at home. So Seattle scores about, on average, 23 points a game. Excuse me, 23 points, I'm sorry. On average, I see with the numbers and defense for and against, I'm seeing Seattle scoring about 23 points in this game with a plus of 3. That's 26 points. And I see New Orleans scoring about 21, 22 points a game. So the point spread is 5.
And
I don't think they're good. I don't, 5.5?
Yes.
I take New Orleans all day because they do have a defense and they can score. So I see this is going to be a tough game and not a 5.5 point. That means they got more or less a touchdown point difference. That's not going to happen. I take New Orleans, but I take Seattle winning the game, but I take New Orleans to cover the spread.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. I had Reverend Fantasy on the line, and I missed him because I was involved with the conversation, and he was listening in when we were talking about San Diego and Cincinnati, but we were going off the air, so I couldn't put Reverend Fantasy on, and hopefully your co-host will call in tomorrow, and I know you want to talk to you to see what's going on for the show tomorrow.
Well, we're going to be doing the same thing we did last week. We're going to be doing the same thing we did last week. Same exact thing. Nothing's changing. It's still fantasy season. It's still fantasy going into the fantasy playoffs. Some of us are already into the playoffs. Some of us aren't, Vic. But that's okay.
Oh, for real? You got to throw me out there like that? I'm in the playoffs in some leagues. Not in every league like last year. It's all good. I know I'm in your pockets, though. So, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a lot of great stuff in store for you. So stick around for us. I'm going to let my cousin give a shout-out to his show and what's coming up on Grown Soul and Real Talk. And we're going to get out of here.
Visit the website, Grown Soul and Real Talk. Catch us on Facebook. We talking about everything. Peace and blessings.
All right. JT, you got anything you want to say before we leave?
All I got to say is tune in tomorrow. Fantasy Reverence, I should say, with myself, the Master, and Reverend Fantasy, our new co-host. We're going to be laying down some knowledge in the gospel and fantasy. That's all I got to say.
10 a.m., ladies and gentlemen, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Master Plan, JTATM Money, and Reverend. Check them out. Now, normally I don't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's a wonderful day. Everybody go out, have a good time. It's a couple days after Thanksgiving. So start thanking or thinking about things to be thankful for next year and all the beautiful things that are out there that God has blessed us with. I want to thank our sponsor, FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com. Please go there. Enjoy the festivities. You can wager on just about anything and everything across the globe. Look forward to seeing what happens. People will go over there and wager. And hopefully everybody will enjoy and be return repeat customers. With that being said, let's get out of here. You know what you got to do.
All right, from myself, Macau, and Victor, Mr. FSP, and for all you who've been listening, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back, you in the right place, so take take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine, but there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.